Hey friends, Peggy Hall back with you from thehealthyamerican.org. Yesterday I did a video about the red herring of Tylenol or Tylernol, as I was calling it. I recommend that you watch that video if you'd like to learn more. Specifically, I was pointing out that Bob Kennedy and President Trump were pointing the finger at Tylenol for being the main culprit of autism. Now, I did make a few notes here because I want to make sure that I cover all of the points that I had intended to. So, this is a part two video, and I do want to clarify a couple of my statements, and I want to reinforce a couple of my statements and also share a few comments from my amazing Healthy Americans. I'm so grateful that you took the time to write to me and share with me your personal stories of autism and Tylenol. So stay tuned for that. But just a few introductory remarks. In yesterday's video, I listed the reasons why Tylenol, in my opinion, could not be the main cause of autism. I do have to be a little careful on this channel in terms of not getting a strike. So let me just share that this is my opinion, and I am basing it on the evidence that I researched. And first of all, there are women who have never taken Tylenol, and they gave birth to healthy babies. And those healthy babies that were developing normally were then injected with certain pharmaceutical products between the ages of about 18 months and 24 months. And then those same infants that were born completely healthy to a healthy mom who had never taken Tylenol, who had never given her babies Tylenol, they were exhibiting the signs of what we call autism. So it is not possible that Tylenol caused autism in those cases. I also pointed out that Tylenol has been on the market since 1955. And although I could not find the number of pregnant women that were taking Tylenol, nor could I find out the number of children that were given Tylenol, because it was promoted as Tylenol Elixir, a pain medication that was in Tylenol's marketing phrase, it was superior to aspirin. What I did find out is that the rates of autism were relatively low all the way up until about the 1990s. And in the 1990s, those autism rates exploded. And what could we correlate? Well, we could correlate the number of vaccine doses that were given to children. I did a whole detailed video on that yesterday, so I'm not going to rehash that in this video. I'll have that part one linked for you. But suffice it to say that in the 1990s and then in the 2000s, in the 2010s, and in the 2020s, the doses of childhood vaccines were, they just exploded. And so did the rates of autism. That could not be explained away by saying that doctors just got better at diagnosing autism. So think about the families and the people that you know. Think about when you were a child. So back in my day, I think I might have known one person. They didn't really use the term autism. I think it was called learning disabled back then. And the individuals that I came across were few and far between. That was just my own personal experience. Think about it now. I mean, just going out and about in your daily life, I see a number of disabled children just at the grocery store, at the wherever I happen to be. It seems like there are so many more that I just come across incidentally. Again, this is not hard and fast research, but the numbers that I showed yesterday, there were about 1 in 35 children are diagnosed with autism. And back in the day, it was 1 in 10,000. So, did women suddenly start taking Tylenol in the 1990s? Perhaps, but I don't see any information that corresponds to that directly. I also pointed out that red dye and Fruit Loops are also likely red herrings because there are plenty of parents that have children that are diagnosed with autism, and those children didn't eat red dye or Fruit Loops. So these are the things that are troubling to me. For those who may have misunderstood my somewhat snarky comments about Tylenol, I was in no way recommending that Tylenol was safe. I don't recommend that people take it. I am not making any recommendations at all regarding Tylenol. In fact, I was very alarmed at this social media craze, I guess on TikTok. I'm not on TikTok, but I saw some memes about pregnant women in defiance downing apparently large amounts of Tylenol sort of thumbing their nose at Trump, saying that Tylenol was safe and they were going to take it. I was actually alarmed at that. I was not saying that it was funny or that women should do that. So I raised my eyebrows at the very strange backlash of women participating in downing these mega doses of Tylenol, if in fact they were doing that. So what I want to do is share with you a few comments from some healthy Americans that took the time to write to me about their personal experiences. And then I also had a number of people that left me comments on my Substack, peggyhall.substack.com. So I'll share both of those with you. And then at the end of this video, I want to share with you a number of other products that also contain acetaminophen, which is the main ingredient in Tylenol. So why is Tylenol being singled out when other products are not? That was the point that I was making, and how strange it was that Tylenol took a hit, a targeted hit back in the 1980s when we were told about the Tylenol murders. And I will do a follow-up video for you on that after I collect enough information and evidence, because that also raised my eyebrows that Tylenol is in the headlines again. And it makes me curious and it makes me skeptical. And that's why I ask questions. So let me share with you a few comments from healthy Americans about their experience with Tylenol. And the punchline is that it basically seemed to exacerbate the onset of autism. Let me be clear, they are not saying that Tylenol caused it. All right, here's the first one. Hi, Peggy. This is my first time writing you, but I've been following you for quite some time. Thank you for your work. When I first heard about the Charlie Kirk incident, my very first thought was, I wonder what Peggy will have to say about this. And it turns out you had a lot to say about it, LOL. Anyway, my husband works for Kimberly-Clark. About a month ago, Kimberly-Clark bought the company that owns Tylenol. Kimberly-Clark paid a lot more per share than what is normal, especially for a company that isn't doing well. As you may or may not know, Kimberly-Clark and Procter & Gamble are bitter competitors in the diaper market, Huggies versus Pampers. However, P&G has a lot more brands to add to the bottom line than KC does. My husband has worked for KC for about 30 years. He complains that most of the upper management has only been with the company for about 5 years, and a lot of them have come from Avon, in fact. Weird, she says. Thankfully, he is close to retiring, but his concern is that P&G could launch a social media campaign against Tylenol or continue the one already started, and that KC would go down the toilet more than it already is. All that to say that perhaps there is a correlation or connection between Bob K and P&G. Did P&G know about the acquisition when Bob released the cause for autism? Is P&G with Big Pharma? I'm guessing yes to both. Again, I'm reading to you an email from a healthy American who kindly took the time to write. And she says, this also reminded me of back in the 1980s when I was a kid, there was a boycott launched, I heard about it through church, against P&G because their logo had stars and a moon and it was satanic. I just found out about the evolution of P&G's logo. Perhaps you want to investigate that if you choose to do so. It wouldn't explain the murders, she put it in quotation marks, of 1982, but I'm sharing it because I know you love a good rabbit hole. Well, you're absolutely right. And I want to thank you so much. I'm keeping the writers anonymous as they asked me, but she said blessings to you. And this is so helpful when people share with me their personal experiences. So here's another one. And this is from Dr. Allen. He says, Tylenol is not the main culprit of autism, but it speeds up the process. Tylenol, and again, in my video yesterday, I explained Tylenol because we were hearing about all the Tylers in the Charlie Kirk spectacle. And right along that time, we heard about Tylenol. And of course, I had the name Tyler on my mind. So I was jokingly referring to it as Tylenol, as all these Tylers are being pinned for different things. All right. He says, Tylenol contains acetaminophen, which is known to block one of the main detoxification pathways in the liver. One of the major players this pathway removes is heavy metals. Now, isn't it interesting that I also brought you a video about the CDC and the FDA warning us about the dangers of parsley, which also, as you told me, my lovely healthy Americans, can remove heavy metals? just sharing, folks. So Dr. Allen says, so a child is injected with a vaccine that contains heavy metals, mercury, aluminum, etc. The immune system is activated and the child begins to have a fever. The fever spikes to an unsafe level and Tylenol is given to reduce the fever. Tylenol blocks the detox pathway. He's saying Tylenol, which is why I'm reading it this way, blocks the detox pathway and the heavy metals are allowed to circulate in the bloodstream. Heavy metals prefer fatty tissue. The brain is primarily made of fat, so the heavy metals lodge themselves in the brain tissue. The brain's immune system identifies the foreign material and initiates a fever to fend off the invader. More Tylenol is then administered, allowing more heavy metal to be placed in the brain, eventually causing enough brain damage to result in, he's calling it autism. Now, he started out the email saying it doesn't cause it, but it speeds up the process. So I find that really interesting and horrible. And then here's another one from another mom. And she says, hi, Peggy, I agree with most of your analyses surrounding the happenings in our world and the corruption in our government. We are a family that was hit hard by the corruption in our government for personal profits and gains. When my son developed encephalitis after his third DTaP, when it was already known that encephalitis was a direct result. Now at age 34, he is fully aware that he doesn't have a life and so desperately wants a normal life. So she goes on with some of his struggles and it is absolutely heartbreaking. I can't even begin to understand the depth of this trauma and pain. She writes, Tylenol was definitely a contributing factor in his regression. The night, friends, it's so difficult for me to even read what happened, but I'll just summarize. Within 6 hours of his DTaP, it was likely priming him for the catastrophic injury during his first year of life. And within 10 hours of screaming, the doctors just kept telling me to give him Tylenol, give him more Tylenol. I was in mainstream medicine at the time as a nurse, and I gave Tylenol to my children before vaccines. What I did by giving him Tylenol was I reduced his glutathione, which is a major antioxidant. With each dose, I markedly reduced his ability to detox out those poisons and allow the reaction in his brain. If I had not stimulated him all night, he would have died and they would have called it SIDS. It was known as early as 2001 by the makers of Tylenol that pregnant women should not take it, and warnings were on the inserts at that time. This is such interesting and important information, and I'm so grateful that more than one healthy American has alerted me to it. She goes on, it is clear that infants and young children should also stay away from the product because of its effect on the major antioxidant glutathione, not to mention it is the number one cause of liver failure in the United States. I firmly believe that the injectable products are the major cause, perhaps the sole cause of the epidemic. We'll just leave it there. My son was born in 91 when they started piling on all the additional poisons. See, friends, that's why I noted in the 1990s, these doses just exploded, as did autism. I don't think the rates of taking Tylenol did. But as several writers have explained to me, it definitely exacerbates it. It makes it worse. Worst is worse than worse. She said, I'm also aware, because in 1991 was following the 1986 Act, which took away the liability for the vaccine manufacturers. So have at it. There was an explosion. I'm also aware of the Simpson Wood meetings where they wanted to hide the information from the public about thimerosal. Now, I have to dig into that, so I'm not aware of it. But again, I'm grateful for those of you that are bringing me this information to do more digging. So there was more that she shared, but basically it was about the dangers of Tylenol back in 2001 and 2008. None of my children have received another shot, and my third child is fully unvaccinated. And she goes on to talk a little bit more about their challenges. She does say that they do not, she says, we do not use Tylenol ever due to its dangers. It absolutely can contribute to damage to the fetus. And so she goes on and on. But I do want to say that I'm so grateful that she wrote, and there was more private information, but she said, "I respect your open-minded research and presentations to alert the public to the many ways we are being bamboozled. So I want people to be aware of Tylenol because they trust your analyses." So thank you so much for allowing me to set the record straight. This came from Lori, and I'm grateful. All right. So, again, when children got the jabs and then they had a headache and a fever, then the parents were told to give them Tylenol. And these parents have explained, along with Dr. Allen, and again, I don't know any of these people personally, but they're healthy Americans, and I'm grateful that they reached out to me. So that is why I wanted to share that. Oh, there's a couple more from my Substack. And remember, peggyhall.substack.com, it's absolutely free. Roberta said, Proberta said, "What about the autism and all those children that weren't exposed to Tylenol? Did they get it from Fruit Loops?" Jaya says, "Please keep connecting the dots and staying on Bob and Trump." And Britt says, "Kennedy is a coward. He knows the truth about the jabs, but refuses to stand up to the zealous jab makers and the believers and the industry and his wife who believes in these products. Blaming Tylenol solely for autism and ignoring the fact that the true cause are these injectables exposes his yellow streak that is a mile wide." And I did want to share one from Mark. He said, "Let's be clear, acetaminophen is a poison, not unlike what all the pharma companies produce. The avalanche of research does show the damage it causes to liver and other vital organs, but the hockey stick chart incidence of autism and ADHD have zero to do with using Tylenol by pregnant women. It's clearly correlative with the CDC and the FDA approving this schedule for children." Okay, so I think you can read it. I had to kind of read it a little differently. You can read the whole thing over at the Substack. And then Laura Hayes, who I mentioned many times, and she says, "While I absolutely do not believe Tylenol to be the main culprit in this epidemic, which is jab-induced let me pronounce it correctly, encephalopathy, as well as other jab-induced devastation, it is known to deplete glutathione, which is an important detoxifier, and it should be avoided." So again, we're seeing several of the healthy Americans email this to me, and I'm so grateful. Let me put this right here. Here's a list of common over-the-counter brand name medicines containing acetaminophen. So it's not just Tylenol. We've got Benadryl, we've got Dayquil, we've got NyQuil, Excedrin, Sinutab, Sudafed, Theraflu, Vicks. I had no idea that all of these products contain acetaminophen as well. Now, I am not a chemist. I am not a pharmacist. I have no idea the amount of acetaminophen in each of these products, but I'm just pointing out that it's not just Tylenol. So take a look at this, take a screen grab if you're interested. And again, thank you so much for letting me set the record straight. And let's finish up with the rest of the video. She said, "Additionally, parents need to educate themselves about natural remedies for ailments and illnesses in their children, the importance of fevers, and time-proven, risk-free ways to protect, maintain, and enhance their children's health and development. In any event, we want to return to the age-old, time-proven, common-sense maxim of not giving pregnant women any medications, including the ones injected into their arms. I also want to mention that I would not recommend Autism Speaks as a resource worth consulting." Thank you for that, Laura. I didn't recommend it, but I referenced it when I was doing my research yesterday. I do not have any experience in autism, which is why I rely on those of you in my audience to set the record straight. And I'm very grateful for that. There are plenty of additional comments at my Substack and plenty of comments following the video that I did for you yesterday. So I just wanted to thank everybody for being on board, for emailing me support@thehealthyamerican.org, and for bringing this information that we need to know. Thank you, everybody. I look forward to seeing you in tomorrow's broadcast. And remember, on Fridays, I'm over at my other channel where we leave the headlines behind. And that is Living Swell, like the ocean swell, Living Swell with Peggy Hall. And that's where I seek to have a positive impact on your life and bring you encouragement for vibrant living. Look forward to seeing you soon, everybody.